So even though I grew up in a pretty hyper-Catholic family and every night we would gather for the family prayers and we would say the rosary together, and of course we had to be there and had to stay awake during the rosary in order to be eligible to receive the three lollies at the end of the rosary, I haven't had a very strong kind of devotion to Mary in my life. In fact, at times I've often thought that Mary kind of got in the way of Christian dialogue and being able to share openly with friends who were Protestants. And often at school, as I went to a state school, that they would challenge me about why do Catholics worship Mary and all of this kind of stuff. And particularly at uni, when I was in university ministry and we were trying to do street evangelization and whatnot with other Christian groups, the question of Mary would often come up. And so for me, with my own spirituality, where I didn't think I really needed Mary to be a big part of my life, I knew that I was able to go directly to Jesus, to pray to Him, to talk and chat as a friend. And yet I think that there's been this kind of hole in my life because of this. I was most conscious of this kind of negative attitude when it came time about 8 years ago, looking at what diocese I would join to become a priest. And the fact that the Immaculate Heart of Mary was the patronal feast of the Diocese of Wollongong was actually a negative for me. Because in the normal calendar in the church at that time, the Sacred Heart of Jesus celebrated on the Friday after the second Sunday after Pentecost, you've got to love the Catholic Church, is celebrated as a solemnity. And then the next day, the Immaculate Heart of Mary is celebrated as an optional memorial. So a solemnity is the very highest of the feasts in the order of things. The optional memorial is down here. And that made sense to me because it had the appropriate balance between Mary and Jesus, that Mary shouldn't be elevated as the fourth member of the Trinity or something like that, which unfortunately you do occasionally see kind of in Catholic circles. And yet in the Diocese of Wollongong, because it's the main feast day of the diocese, they're celebrated side by side, both as solemnities. There's a little bit of liturgical geekiness for you, and that was just some of my kind of thinking and pondering. And of course, I eventually did join the diocese. One of the things I think that helps us to understand an appropriate spirituality and understanding of Mary within our lives is actually serendipitously provided by our readings today, taken not from the feast day of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, but of simply the 11th Sunday. These parables that Jesus tells are two of the three that he tells in the fourth chapter of the Gospel of Mark. The parable of the sower, the most famous of the seed parables, takes up most of the chapter. And then we have these two short ones without a lot of explanation and unpacking of the parables. But both provide an insight into the spirituality and life of the Blessed Virgin. Both provide us a way of trying to unpack where Mary can fit within our own lives. First, this hiddenness of the seed. The seed that is just sprouting and growing and doing its work in a way that no one really even notices, which kind of points to the work of discipleship. And first and foremost, Mary is a disciple of Jesus. Yes, she's the mother. Yes, she was immaculately conceived. Yes, she remained an ever virgin. All of these doctrines about Mary. But the first and most fundamental thing about Mary is that she said yes to God. She became a follower of Jesus. She made room for Jesus in her life, and particularly in the feast today, in her heart. There's this hiddenness, this ability to remain and ponder the words, just as Jesus spent time with his disciples explaining and unpacking these parables. So also Mary did the same. She took time, we are told, to ponder upon the Word of God, to sit with the Word, to allow the Word to slowly begin to articulate itself and to move through her life, just as a seed begins to grow and to sprout within a person's life. And the second image then is also powerful because in the parable we're told that the mustard seed is the smallest of all seeds. Well, the Jewish people would have known there are slightly smaller seeds than the mustard seed, but it's certainly ordinary. You wouldn't kind of seeing a whole pile of seeds pick out the mustard seed as something extraordinary, something outstanding about it. And even though in our iconography we often depict Mary as completely set apart, completely extraordinary, the thing about Mary is how ordinary she would have been. That in her hometown, people wouldn't have noticed her. Yes, they perhaps would have remarked how much she was in love with God, how much she was so focused and committed to the Jewish practices and the Jewish worship as a good Jewish girl. But there would be nothing kind of completely out of the ordinary. Certainly none of the halos and the walking on clouds and all of that that we might imagine. Mary was utterly ordinary, utterly like us. And yet she was this openness to God. The Lord, like that small, insignificant seed, is able to allow it to grow into a sizable shrub, into something that is able then to provide shelter for so many birds of the air. So also across the centuries, Mary has been there as a place of shelter and protection for so many Christians, people who have felt unworthy of that amazing love of God, and yet have found a place of solace within that heart of Mary, within someone who has sought the Lord, someone who has opened themselves so completely to God. And Mary has then become that sign and example for other Christians to identify with. But the only way that we can really identify with her is as first our sister, first a fellow disciple, someone who walks with us, someone who has shared our own experiences and yet has managed to grow and to mature in faith, who has been able to take her extraordinary ordinariness and has been transformed because, not of herself, but because of that openness to grace, to love, to glory, and above all, to her son Jesus. That is what we find when we reverence the memory of Mary as the Immaculate Heart. She is a disciple. She is one who provides that example for us of what it looks like to be transformed by God's love. Mary becomes that sign for us. She becomes that intercessor for us, our older sister, to continue to pray for us, to continue to give that example to us, to say, come and do the same. Come and follow Jesus. Come and find that place in His Sacred Heart, that place where you can grow, that place where you can find life, that place where you can become the saints that all of us have called to be.